If you would, turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Ephesians. Let's go back to basics. Two parts to the book of Ephesians. The book is divided up into two sections. The call of the church. That's what we're talking about now. The call of the church. Chapters 1 through 3. God did not spare anything in calling us out of a fallen world. He gave us salvation by not even sparing His Son. That's a high calling. That means this, in Ephesians 4 through 6, there's a high conduct. How many testimonies have been ruined for Jesus by the hypocrisy of those who identify with Him? It's weekly that we hear stories of those who profess and then do something that brings shame and horrible ignominy upon God's church. It shouldn't be that way. That's why not only has He called us, but He calls us to walk in a manner worthy. And the key verse then in Ephesians is Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy. It's hard to do in a world like this, where so many things compete and the Christian can be torn, but we're to keep an eye on our walk, our conduct, to be merciful and compassionate and loving the way Jesus was. We see this in our teaching in the Gospel of Luke. For those of you who are in Sunday school, how compassionate and loving our Savior was. And if I could fault Christians in one way, they sure aren't compassionate and merciful toward people who don't know Jesus. We should be that way because that's the way Jesus was with people. He was a friend of sinners. So we want to keep looking this morning at chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Remember, there's an outline here in 3 through 14. God is to be praised. Why? Because the Father chose in verses 3 through 6. And guess what we found out? We don't really know why ultimately God chose some and not others. But we do know some things. He chose us because we're the worst things in the world. If God chooses you and you respond by faith in Jesus Christ, know this. God chose you because we are the base, and He gets glory by choosing the worst, not the best. That means this. When you see somebody that doesn't know Jesus here, remember now, I keep drilling this home. You tell them, if God chose me as the base person, as the worst, there's no problem with God saving you. That's why Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. So, why did God choose? Well, we went through some reasons. But specifically, why He chose some, we leave that in the hands of God. We're just to glorify Jesus Christ. It says He chose us. That means this. Remember now, you're not an accident. They teach the kids the greatest lie there ever was. Absolutely no logic to it. Evolution. Geneticists, as I've told you, I've got a book by a geneticist that they've now discovered and uncracked the secrets of the cell. And it's called Darwin's Black Box. Now, Darwin dealt with, he was actually a stupid man. Came from a fundamentalist family. Most greatest damage to the church comes from that kind of a thing. Children turn on God if you're too strict with them. And he invented one of the most stupid theories that every PhD scientist from Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard all sit there. That's because people are stupid and they follow one another. And the geneticist in Darwin's black box found out that when they cracked in the microscope, our microscope man there can confirm this, they found out an intricacy in the cell that is far beyond anything that Darwin even could possibly have known about or imagined. That many of the processes within the cell itself are so dependent upon one another that unless they were made all at once, nothing would work. And what it reveals is an intricate coding for life. Well, if there's intricate coding for life, then here is the question. Who did the programming? And then they teach our kids that random mindless chance over a lot, give them all the time they want because it's going to take a lot more than 4.5 billion years to produce life by random blind chance. And clearly it's now saying in Ephesians something that God's Word knew all along. You are no accident. You didn't evolve. You ain't from no monkey. You may monkey around, but you're not from any monkey. God knew all about you. This is no surprise. You're here on purpose. You're in school to learn. And God is all aware of you. And you're going through school to learn things that He put you here for. Some of these lessons aren't easy, are they? Some of you have lost precious husbands and wives and been through a lot. That's not easy to go through. But we're here for some reason to glorify Jesus and learn. And you're not an accident. That's what He meant when it says He chose us. And then we talked about that next word and left you in suspension last week. In Him. Well, you all, we're not taught anymore. They dumbed down our education system horribly. It's awful what they've done to education nowadays when they graduate kids from high school. Frankly, they can't even read or write. That's what they're... Why do the elites do that? So they can control us. See, if you take away education and learning from people, then people aren't aware of what the elites are trying to accomplish. This is why they're doing it. And so we have kids that are graduating, can't read or write or do anything, and we don't pay attention to these little phrases anymore. This is one of the most important phrases in all of the New Testament. In Christ. This is used in a variety of ways. In Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the Lord, in Jesus our Lord, in Him, in whom, you name it, this occurs multiple times. Romans, 21 times. 1 Corinthians, 21 times. 2 Corinthians, 12. Galatians, 8. Ephesians, 36 times. Colossians, 19. The Thessalonians, 14 times. The Timothys, 9 times. Philemon 5, 165 times. And then if you ask someone, what does the phrase in Christ mean? You know what they say? I don't know. That's because we're not taught to pay attention to the writing. In Him. That means this. When you're chosen, when God in eternity past chose you, the choice has one central focus, Jesus Christ. Now, what this term essentially means, if I can give you the big picture, is this: identification. When you're chosen in Christ Jesus, that means this. When God looks at you, He doesn't see you in any way but by identifying you with His Son. It's complete identification. Everything that you have surrounds the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. Let me show you this. Paul doesn't tease it out at this point, but let me just go to Romans chapter 6. Let me show you how this develops. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Do you not know, well, let's go to verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, he's not talking about physical baptism. As much as Baptists want to see that. Baptism, physical with water, is only a picture of the new birth experience. We went through the new birth a while back. Talks about washing and regeneration. What it means is this, that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are placed in God's eyes, completely identified with everything that Jesus did. Now watch this. You have been baptized into his death, verse 3. That means this, you haven't died, have you? Not yet. But when Christ died, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you are so placed and identified with Jesus that you are identified with his death on the cross. Therefore, we have been buried. You're identified with his burial. Go figure. Then it says this. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also united in the likeness of his resurrection. Now think about that. That means this, everything that Jesus Christ did, you get credit for. That's why Paul says, if you go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, that Christ became to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You don't get those things in any way except through Jesus Christ. Did you know what Jesus taught? You don't hear this from the pulpit anymore. Today it's popular to just say there are many ways to God. That is not what Jesus taught. Do you know what Jesus taught? John chapter 10, go there. We're going to look at these verses to explore this. John chapter 10, Jesus said this. I am the door for the sheep. By the way, singular. There is no other door but Jesus. You know what he was saying by that? You don't come into the to become one of God's sheep without going through what? You don't go through the door. Who's the door? I am the door of the sheep. Now listen to what he said. Verse 8. All. How much is all? All who came before me are what? Thieves and robbers. Now, I take a view on that that upsets a lot of theologians. But it's what I like to do. He's saying this. Anybody but me, in comparison to me, is a thief and a robber. Now that means this. We know some great saints in the Old Testament, don't we? In Johannine theology, before Abraham was, Jesus said what? What he's saying is this. In comparison to me, I don't care who it is. Jesus said, in comparison to me, all the rest of them are thieves and robbers. That's how great it is to be identified with Jesus Christ and no other. That's why when they told Jesus in his time, well, we're disciples of Moses, you know, big deal. The only one that matters, Moses was a thief and a robber compared to Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that Moses was a bad person. It just means that no one measures up to Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, go to 14:6. I am the way. The way to what? The way to San Diego? How about the way to Arizona? No, he's the way to God. I am the way. I am the truth. You want it? Somebody asked me philosophically, what is truth? Well, that's a tough question. You want to summarize it real quick? Jesus Christ is the truth. That's it. I am into big time into human forms of philosophy because that's what I have to study for my subject to show the infiltration of secular philosophy into the teaching of New Testament subjects. And I'm telling you, it is filled with bad thinking. You want truth, it's Jesus Christ. He's the way to God. He is the only truth. And if you want life, you want eternal life, it's through him. No one. No one comes to the Father but through me. Do you realize that our country is now at the point where preachers that preach this are going to be in trouble? You don't know what I see and what I hear about the growing problems that preachers are going to have coming up. Because if you preach that, now there's a shift in the philosophy of our government that if you preach that, you're intolerant and therefore will lose your tax-exempt status. Colleges and every place are losing their ability to make student loans and their ability to have any standing because of this kind of thing. You better get ready for this. Jesus said, I'm the way. So therefore, the only way to what this word in him means, the only way to have an identification that God recognizes and that Jesus taught was to be identified with him, who's the him. Now, there's an amazing thing that happens when you do become identified with him. I got to tell you something. The moment you're in him and you're identified with Jesus Christ, certain things drop away. When you come to him, certain things drop away. And I don't know why Christians don't get this. It's because they don't teach from the pulpit the word anymore. The first thing that happens, it says this. Before you come to Christ, guess who's your daddy? That doesn't give me any joy to tell people that. You either belong to God or you belong to Satan. If you don't accept Jesus in him, then it says your daddy is what? But once you do, something happens. You are in Christ, identified with him. God credits you with his righteousness, Romans says. And then something else happens. Your citizenship. It says in Colossians, go there, Colossians. Yeah, Philippians 3:20, that's the one I was going to too. But Colossians first. 1:13, when you're identified with Jesus Christ, he delivered us from the domain of darkness. Where is that? No. Well, that's part maybe, but where is that? Here, this place now. Do you know what the Bible says about the world? Held by Satan in the domain of darkness. And you can tell, just look at your news media. Frankly, don't look at your news media. Controlled by six corporations. People tell me, David, you shouldn't be on the internet looking at alternative news. Because why? Six corporations control 95% of your news media. Why should I believe six corporations that are controlled by banksters? They only tell you what they want you to know. This whole world is held in darkness by Satan. But something happened when you're identified with Jesus Christ. It says this, you are transferred to the kingdom of his what? Now, get mad at me all you want, but that means you're not a citizen of the United States anymore. If this is all the domain of darkness, guess what the United States is? Tell me. We're in foreign territory. We're in occupied territory. You get transferred to God's kingdom. Everything in this world, it says, is held by Satan. When you're identified with Jesus Christ, he transfers you to his kingdom. You're no longer a citizen of the United States. Sorry! You ever notice when you vote for any party you never get? Have you noticed this? This election has brought up the fact that even if you vote for delegates, they don't actually have to vote for the person that they're supposed to. The whole political party controls whomever. The real truth is, without superdelegates in the process, Bernie would be the candidate. I mean, who cares? Because this whole thing is what? It's rigged, and it's a domain of darkness. You don't have a say. That's one thing that's come out in the recent times. The two political parties that are controlled by banks and corporations don't care what you think. They're going to give you what you want because they think they... Look, it's all the domain of darkness. But you're not a part of this anymore. Quit. Give up on political parties. They'll never save America. It's all held by Satan, no matter who gets in. I don't care if they're a card-carrying whatever that you are. I'm a political atheist. A lot of these preachers get caught up in endorsing political candidates. You know what I say? My candidate never wins. None of the above. We've been transferred. That means this. Now that you're a citizen of heaven, and then Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, and therefore we wait. Okay? What does that mean we are now, Pastor Dave? If we're not citizens of America, if this is held by Satan, which is the biblical point of view, what does that make us, Dave? Well, some of you will say, this sure describes you, Pastor Dave. You are an alien and a stranger. People ask me, do you believe in aliens? And I say, I sure do. But they have no idea what I'm doing to them. Look what Peter said. Look at this. When Abraham believed God, it says in Hebrews 11:13... that he was a stranger and an exile. Why? This whole system belongs to Satan. When your great-great-great-grandfather, we all go back to the same family, whether you like it or not, I'm a relative. And when Adam and Eve fell, they ceded this whole world to Satan. And when Abraham believed in God, you know what belief in God, the true God of the Bible and Jesus Christ, makes you? An alien and a stranger, because your citizenship isn't in this world. This world is completely controlled by Lucifer. I could tell you stories that will scare you about elite families and bloodlines that literally worship Lucifer. And it's documented by people. How'd they know, Pastor Dave? You shouldn't be on that alternate media. Because people get... God's spirit is more powerful. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They get saved and start telling. And I have heard some blood-curdling things from people that got born again, love Jesus, and say, this is what it was before I found the Savior. They take loyalty pledges to Lucifer in these families. This whole world is controlled, and they control the political process in your country. You're a stranger. Look what 1 Peter says. Beloved, 1 Peter 2:11. I urge you as what? Aliens and strangers. Now that doesn't mean mentally strange. That just belongs to me, not you. It means that you no longer are of and from this world. You don't want to be of and from this world. Why? Because Lucifer owns it. Exactly right. I don't know why Christians cannot seem to get this in their mind, that the whole system is owned, bought and paid for by Luciferian interests. Boy, I was reading something the other day that curled my hair from a guy that would know, and it just was amazing. You say, Dave, now you need to be careful getting into the internet. There's a lot of wacko. Well, I'm not stupid. But it sure makes sense to me. What's our point? The identification when you come to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, be merciful. God sees you. He identifies you fully with what Jesus Christ did. Even his death, burial, and resurrection is credited to your account. His righteousness, the sanctification, the filling of the Spirit, and then you become an alien. You become someone that doesn't belong to this system. And then you become someone that's a sojourner in a land that is controlled. It's just like Red Dawn. Remember that? That movie was hated, but it's just like Red Dawn. Satan is invaded. Those who are in this world are held as his prisoners, and we do not belong. We're behind enemy lines, and it's all because God sees you in Christ. And listen to me, you want to be in Christ because the victor of this whole situation is going to be Jesus Christ when he decides in his timing to expose this whole system. I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly desires that will wage war. So identification with Jesus Christ means that you are so... Did I ever tell you that in Alabama when I was preaching there, they used to put Velcro on all of my clothes so that I could Velcro these kind of things. They blame it on me, but I think it's the method of attachment of many of these things. But anyway, where were we? This is what it means. You are his. You are taken out of this system. You're identified with him. Don't get too close to this world. It's controlled territory. I don't care how nice Hawaii is. I don't care if Korea looked really good. No wonder we have so many wars, so much hostility, because Satan loves to humiliate men by killing them. Boy, I could tell you stories, but I better be careful. You'll think I'm really weird about why we have killing in this world, which is another story. Identification is what this means. If you're really Jesus Christ, you're his. That means this: no one else matters. Jesus said, if you love your father, mother more than me, or your children more than me, you are what? Not worthy of me. Identification means the purpose that you have in life is to what? Glorify God. I don't know if Christians do a good job of that, because I'm ashamed of some Christians. They seem so unkind and so hateful at times. Or is it just me? We have the message of God's grace and forgiveness. We should be the most loving and compassionate people. Now next, look what he says next. Before the foundation of the world, look what it goes. We go to Ephesians and look what it says next. We now have a reason why he's done all of this. The writer then tells us the purpose of this. That we, in other words, he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, identified with Jesus Christ. What's the purpose of this? That we should be holy and blameless. Now, we've got a problem here this morning. It's a translation problem. You didn't notice something. How are we to be holy and blameless? Well, how many of you say, preacher, my spiritual life is holy and blameless? We're all human, aren't we? Well, there's a problem here of punctuation. And there's a difference of opinion in translations. Okay. I want you to notice your translations. Take a look at your translation and tell me someone. Does verse 5 in your translation begin with in love?
No.
Does verse 4 end with in love? No, wait. Did they capitalize in love?
No.
Okay, now what it's saying is this. When the New Testament was written, the church was poor. Not nowadays. You ever watch these churches? They build these great cathedrals and these big edifices. Put all money into a building. I don't know if Jesus would have approved of that, but I'll shut my mouth. I'm controversial enough. Anyway, there was no punctuation in the original. It was all capital letters, all written together. Why? Because papyrus was expensive and people in the church were poor. Not many chosen had money. That's a good thing. And there's an opinion of where the punctuation belongs. So how many of you say we should be holy and blameless in love, period, in your translation? Is that in your translation? Huh? Comma! And then you have in love, he predestined us? Well, there's two... Where this verse ends, there's two things. Some believe that it should be, he chose us to be holiest and blameless in love, period. Or, in love, verse 5, he predestined us. So one talks about we should be holy and blameless in him in love. The other says in love, he chose us or predestined us. So what does your translation say? Does the love belong to predestined or does the love belong to holy and blameless in your translation? Huh? Look at it. Yeah, wrong. The actual correct reading here, I'm not wanting to sound like a pope, but the actual correct reading here is this. Listen to me. In order that he chose us, why? In order that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. And then it says, he predestined us to adoption. The word in love, the phrase in love, belongs with verse 4 and does not begin verse 5. You say, Pastor Dave, how in the wide world would I have known that? Well, that's why we keep things secret so a preacher has a job. What is this saying? Here's why you're here. Listen to me now. Here's why you're here on this earth, what you're here to do. God wants you to be holy and blameless before him in your love. It isn't in love he predestined us, although that's not wrong, but it's accentuating the fact that God chose you and now he's working upon you. Remember, what is God? God is... Now, listen, Christian. What we really need to be working on is our love life. I'm sorry, but I feel that Christians fail here. If you were to ask the church how they are in love, How would you think? If you were going to grade the church on love, the visible establishment church, how would you grade them on love? I don't like what I see. That's because it's just like in the Old Testament, many were called and few were chosen. That means there's many today that name the name of Jesus Christ, aren't they? And then they want to go around killing everybody. Listen to me. God identified you with Christ for the purpose of He wants to perfect you in, you ready now? To be holy and blameless in love. That's why all of John, that's why I like the Gospel of John. Remember that? God is love. But that love must be expressed in terms of Jesus Christ, not in anything else. So if you want to really make an impact in life as a Christian, guess what you need to do? Ready? Work on your love life in relationship to Jesus Christ. That's hard to do. As much as I preach that, I will become upset certain times with Christians. And now, to be honest with you, when the preacher preaches, he preaches and he feels a little bit like a hypocrite, because I'm telling you, we have to be holy and blameless in love, and then I'll remember the places in which I fail to be holy and blameless in love. So the preacher's got to be the first one to confess that I got a lot of work here. But Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by what? So how many are really Jesus' disciples? I mean, I've been in this business, raised in the church, since I was a little, itty-bitty little kid. And then I became what I do. Let me criticize the church. I don't know if Christians are motivated by love. But this is why God put you here and identified you with Jesus Christ. To perfect you holy and blamelessly, because God is what? This is another way of saying He wants to make you like God the Father. Therefore, all you have to do is this. Work on your love life. Don't worry about what some of these crazy preachers talk about. They make 12 volumes of theology and get off on every little subject. It's evil. Here is the basic. Are you expressing the nature of Jesus in your love life? That's not easy to do. Because it takes God's Spirit. But Christians should... You know what I hate about... They tell Christians, well, you need to come dressed in a suit and tie to church. It's not the way God wants you to dress for church. He wants you to come dressed in love. Now, I got in trouble at the seminary. Promise not to tell anybody this. But, oh, I got the trouble in this... I did it here, and everybody loved it here, but you are nice people. But I went to the seminary, and Paul said in Colossians 3:13 that everybody's to put on the girdle of love. The bond doesn't mean bond. It's archaic. It means literally girdle. So I said to my wife, they want me to preach in chapel. I said, help me pick out a girdle. And I literally, here we were in Kmart years ago. She said, Dave, those people down there have no sense of humor. You shouldn't do this. And I said to say, oh, I'm going to do it. This will be great. Well, anyway, we went to Kmart. And I found a nice white girdle. And I put a thing on it and said, love. And I put it underneath my suit. And I was scared to death as I was riding down on the freeway that morning, because all I needed was the headline, seminary professor injured in accident. And as they were taking the jaws of life and cutting up, they found he was wearing a girdle. Anyway, I got in the pulpit And I, as I went up, I said to the dean, I said, I hope you have a sense of humor. He says, not if you mess around in the place. He was a Navy man, no sense of humor. And then I broke out into a sweat because I've got, and I wanted to show people my girdle of love. Instead, he was staring at me just like this. No kidding. So I went like this, and for 7 years, I was not allowed to preach in the seminary pulpit for doing that. See, the worst thing in the world is to be a fundamentalist Christian that actually wants to put the fun back into it. But anyway, that's what this is saying. You're identified with Christ, you get all of his credit, and here's what he's working on in your life this morning. That you be holy and blameless, what?
In love.
You want to summarize it all up? Just pay attention to how you're expressing love and don't worry about any other thing. And that's what he's talking about. That's why you're here.